This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Happy Saturday, folks. You know, my travels continue. In fact, I'm going to be over in the Salt Lake area at the big Gateway Center Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. All you Salt Lake folks, come on down and say hi. Love to see my readers. Love to see my radio listeners and loads of people buying these as gifts, these books. Threads West, an American Saga. And you know what's great is at least 30, 40, 50% of the folks that are buying at these book signings, and we're talking, you know, hundreds of books a day, are readers of the series. And they're turning their friends and family onto them. It really makes me smile. And you know, it doesn't make me smile because of book sales. I mean, yes, obviously, any author and my publisher are happy about book sales. And obviously, Barnes & Noble and other bookstores are happy about book sales. But my mission for these series, if I can get 10 or 20 or 30 million people to read these books, even if they're passed on from somebody else, I mean, I don't care. This is the story of America set in the West. I mean, it's our story. And I am so tired of the revisionism. I am so tired of the, shall we say, mutation of history by the progressives who have cleverly controlled the educational systems more and more and more, I might add, and more at the higher levels of education. You've seen what's going on at the universities with professors. Bill Ayers and Bernardine Dorn, professors. Holy smokes. But if I can get this story out, and I can get millions of Americans to read it, and to remember who the hell we are and what we are, then my mission's accomplished. I want to thank all of you who have come down to the book signings over the last 20, 25 days, whatever it's been. It's a blur. Let me tell you, it's a blur. Toward the end of the stint here, I got when people are at the table, I have to ask them their name twice when I'm signing the book. It is amazing. And I've gotten a great feel for how people feel, at least in Wyoming and New Mexico and Colorado and soon Utah. And people are not happy. I mean, yes, they're happy with many of the mundane things in their lives. And obviously they're happy usually with their families, but they're not. There's a seething kind of current of discontent, and it's really universal. I bet I talk to 200 at the low and 500 at the high, depending upon the traffic in the store on a given day, people a day. And sometimes the conversations are relatively lengthy. 5 minutes is lengthy at a book signing, and sometimes they're 30 seconds. But you know, the comments that are made offhand with no prompting by me, the comments that are made when we get into a discussion about the current state of affairs internationally and domestically in this country, it's virtually unanimous. I bet I haven't run into, out of thousands and thousands of people, five, and that may be high, who express satisfaction with the way things are going right now for America. And it got me to thinking about this show. I mean, we all know the president is a liar. We know the first lady is a liar. I think you've heard about the most recent deal where she's completely changed her story of a year ago about some poor woman who's short, as she admits in her speech, the first lady's speech, not being able to reach a top shelf, not recognizing the first lady, which I think she was quite miffed at. You know, I mean, no, somebody didn't recognize Michelle. And the poor gal asked her if she could reach up there and get her something off the top shelf. And you know, when Michelle first told that story a year ago, these people forget this stuff's on video. It was all about her not being recognized because she had a baseball cap and sunglasses on and was dressed kind of like the common Joe. But in a recent interview with USA Today, the president and she expounded on how they've been treated like valets and how white men have looked down on them their whole lives. And this story that she told a year ago has mutated now into this short woman who couldn't reach the top shelf, asking the tall woman, Michelle, to get something off it for her as some type of racial thing. Like, you know, it's the story has suddenly become that the white lady was thinking that Michelle was a servant of some type. And, of course, we have the president's lies about health care, your doctor, your policy, your premium, your hospital. And we have his lies about Benghazi, the video. We have his lies about ISIS. It's not Islamic. He's going to dismantle it. They're JVs. I mean, I can go on and on and on. It serves no purpose. I think everybody understands. Even the liberals. Excuse me. The progressives not only don't understand, they condone the lying because they're interested in the end, not the means. So I put together a list. I put together a list, and this is just partial, both international and domestic, of all the various areas where there are quote-unquote things going on, some type of administrative or presidential initiatives. And I've come to the conclusion after putting together this list, which I'm going to share with you right now, I think when you hear it all in one place, rather than disjointed tidbits from the mainstream media and other media, you know, when they're focused on a story and they just pound the hell out of it for a week or 10 days until they move to the next story, that becomes a blur. But when you hear it all at once, your eyes are going to cross. And remember, this man and all the people he has appointed, including Eric Holder, who is, I don't know if he's worse than, or as, I don't know. They're on the same level, I think. Deadly to this country. Traitorous in their actions. Treasonous in their thoughts and plans. And absolutely false in their representations and misrepresentations to the American people. The oath of office that these people took was to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. The Constitution, folks, is us. Remember how it starts? We the people. We the people. That's a Declaration of Independence. It's a phrase you'll find in the Constitution, although slightly different wording. It's a phrase you'll find in the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. Once again, slightly different wording, but the concept is the same. This is our government. We are not their people. It is our government. It is not their Constitution. It is our Constitution. The Constitution was specifically drafted not to give them power, but to limit their power and to give us rights. And the Constitution is quite clear that our rights are derived from a source far higher than government, whatever you want to call that source. So why don't we get into the list, shall we? Let's start with international. This is a mind-boggling list, and you know it doesn't even dent the surface. Think about what the president is doing through John Kerry, who is, you know, worthless. Absolutely worthless. Can you imagine if he had been president, as a side thought? Shudder the thought. So we have Iran marching toward nuclear armament, which will eventually mean something terrible within the homeland of the United States, and certainly something terrible for Israel, unless Israel takes them out, which brings us to Israel. And by the way, on the Iranian thing, you know, do you notice how suddenly this treaty thing is kind of out of the news? Wait for the announcement on that, and then wait for the real treaty. As he negotiates with them to help us fight ISIS. You can see the quid pro quo coming there, can't you? Then you have Israel, our staunchest ally in the Middle East, perhaps, along with England, our staunchest ally on the planet. We're interfering in their domestic politics. We treat their government like a piece of caca. There's no respect whatsoever for Netanyahu, who is charged with, and unlike this president, charged with keeping the safety and sanctity of his people foremost. Then there's Somalia. You might have missed that a few months ago. You know we have troops in Somalia now? Remember Black Hawk Down? I'm not saying whether that's good, bad, or indifferent. I'm just saying it's something that's going on. And you have the terrorism over there. The Boka. You know, stealing 300 school children at a time. Selling them into sex slavery. And Nigeria, the same thing. And then, of course, we have ISIS. You notice how ISIS hasn't been in the news lately? Oh, they were quick to crow about Kurdish fighters, 8,000 Kurdish fighters, getting a quote-unquote victory led by quote-unquote American airstrikes, which, by the way, are being directed by the White House. Remember Lyndon Johnson picking targets in the Vietnam War? Those of you who are old enough to do it, that worked out well, didn't it? Flying 5 sorties a day when you should be flying 200. And then, of course, we have Syria, and this is all tied in. I'm not going to hit each of these items in detail. The purpose here is to show you how much is going on and how many ways they have purposely diverted our attention so that not one thing can be focused on, and they can kind of have their way with everything. We have Syria. You know, the red line that was not the red line. The use of chemical weapons, which is still going on, even though our president told us that all the chemical weapons have been removed because of his forceful leadership. And the chemical weapons, by the way, that haven't been removed are now being used by ISIS. Gee, I wonder where they got them. And then we have Iraq. I mean, you know the mess that's going on in Iraq. That's tied in with ISIS. Not to mention Sunni unrest. All coming down from a premature pullout of all our troops against the recommendations of top brass and just about everybody else with a living brain cell who was sincerely concerned about American security and the viability of a fledgling Iraqi democracy. And then Afghanistan, where the Taliban have stepped up attacks. We're withdrawing troops. The NATO presence has all but ended. Oh, and then we have Ukraine, where we have allowed Russia to annex Crimea without lifting a finger, where despite almost a year of pleas by this huge ally of the United States, truly a fledgling democracy and European, where the United States has blocked them from entering NATO, and instead of sending small arms and ammunition, at least, never mind heavier weapons, to our allies who have pleaded for the hardware so that they can defend themselves, no American boots, so that they can defend themselves against Russian aggression, we've sent them blankets and MREs. Then we have the Eastern Bloc, Poland, Estonia, where unilaterally this president pulled out defensive missiles that were planned under treaty approved by Congress that those countries have been relying on to protect themselves from the Russian bear. And we have Putin with his SOC. Listen to my radio show, I believe it was from 3 weeks ago. Just look at the headline, if you will, of the radio shows. Read the description. Listen to that show. Most people don't know about the SOC, SOA. This is an organization that will include, shortly, India and Pakistan. It already includes China and Russia and a host of other countries. And now they're actively promoting membership the first time. Guess who's running that now, this year? Mr. Putin. He's been elected head of the SOC-SOA. And their avowed intent, it's stated, is to bring down America economically. Their unstated intent is to bring us down militarily. And part of that is destroying NATO. If you listen to my last 3, 4, 5 shows, I've given you several instances of Russian warplanes not only violating Canadian airspace and American airspace in test probes similar to the Cold War, but violating NATO airspace, pushing the envelope, so to speak, with Poland and Estonia to see, kind of a probe to see what NATO will do. Because if NATO doesn't respond to the defense of another NATO member and doesn't respond promptly and with unity, NATO is done. Putin has achieved his goal. Remember the old divide and conquer. You see it here in this country, and you see it with communists all over the world. It's one of Saul Alinsky's rules. Then we have North Korea. Now, North Korea is nuclear armed, and we should have learned from these mistakes of previous presidents. It's not Obama's fault they have nuclear weapons. It is Obama's fault that they run amok with them. We have North Korea launching cyber attacks on American companies, and I would dare say on American government. In fact, it looks like they're good enough that we probably don't even know what cyber attacks they're launching on any level. Experts have been warning about this for years. Obama has done absolutely nothing. And now, supposedly, according to the mainstream press, he's meeting daily with his security council and national security staff. Well, the national security staff is Ben Rhodes, you know, the guy who changed the talking points in the Benghazi documents, and Miss Susan Rice, you know, the gal who lied, looking in the camera right in our face to support Hillary's and Barry's lie about the video causing Benghazi. And North Korea is a wild card, folks. And North Korea is an exporter of nuclear technology, missile technology, and weaponry technology and parts to all our enemies all over the world, including in South America. Which brings us to the Monroe Doctrine. It was hardly mentioned by the press. But about a year ago, Kerry had a speech. And in it, he talked about, and I'm going to paraphrase, you can Google this up and listen to the whole thing yourself, how the Monroe Doctrine was now essentially dead. The Monroe Doctrine goes back to President James Monroe. And basically, that doctrine was any military infringement or presence by any power in our hemisphere, that includes South America and North America, would be viewed as a threat to American security and the safety of the American people and would not be allowed. In fact, it was the precepts of the Monroe Doctrine that formed the foundation of the Bay of Pigs and the Cuban Missile Crisis. Different day, different age, different weapons, much more dangerous. But that, nonetheless, was the foundation of Kennedy's stand, where once again, strong, strong posture averted military and safety disaster for America. You would think we would have learned, but you know, I think we have learned. And I think this president and this attorney general and this first lady and all the progressive mucky mucks he has installed hither, yither, and yon in agencies and the judiciary, which we're going to talk about when we get to the domestic list, they don't care about that. They don't give a damn about this country or its people or the safety of your family. That is not their goal. Their goal is entirely different. And when we talk about the Monroe Doctrine, that kind of brings us to China and Russia again, who are busy not only establishing rapport with South American countries, particularly Venezuela, but establishing military liaisons and military bases, which, although we haven't been told, I would have to think, hearkening back once again to the Cuban Missile Crisis, include offensive intercontinental ballistic nuclear-tipped missiles. I'm sure we will hear about that in the next year or two. And by then, they'll be installed. And once again, America and her options in terms of defense and national interests will be severely crippled. And then we have Libya, where this president took out a dictator and, of course, slapped himself on the back and then withdrew, knowing full well there'd be chaos. And there has been total chaos, including Benghazi. And I think we all know about Benghazi, and I think Trey Gowdy will get to the bottom of it. And if you haven't read 13 Hours, that was written by two of the operatives who were there that night in Benghazi, you should. There were stand-down orders. I don't know whether Congress is lying or the administration is lying or they're both lying. I mean, I know the administration is lying. I don't know if Congress is complicit or just stupid. They didn't even call these people to testify, although I think Trey Gowdy will. And then we have Yemen, another place where Barry went in, stirred the pot, and then left the kitchen. Now in total collapse and run by Al-Qaeda. You don't hear about that in the news either. It was interesting when the president was talking about Cuba the other day and telling us what a great deal this was, how it's just wonderful. He didn't mention the military aspects. Now, if Russia and China are establishing military bases in South America, Bolivia, Venezuela, etc., do you really think that they're not going to try and establish some type of military presence in Cuba? I wouldn't be half surprised if this whole thing wasn't part of a plan to close Guantanamo. Once again, for political expediency and the safety of America and Americans be damned. And I wouldn't be half surprised if in the next 2 to 4 years, you don't see either a Russian or a Chinese military in place and running Guantanamo as an offensive thorn and dangerous threat to the American homeland just 90 miles off our coast. You know how long it takes an intercontinental ballistic missile? And you don't even need an intercontinental missile, by the way. You can go with a short-range missile to reach major targets in the United States from Cuba. Seconds. Less than a minute. I mean, it's as effective as planting a bunch of nuclear submarines off our coasts, which, by the way, both countries are doing. If you read any of the military intelligence reports, some of which I post on this site from time to time, under the articles of military or international, there's hugely increased presence by Russian submarines and China's growing navy, since they're outspending us about 5-1 right now on military. And then, of course, we have the Ebola nonsense. 3,000 troops over there to fight Ebola at their risk. Gee, we haven't heard anything about that, have we? And you're telling me that there's 3,000 troops over there and not one person has contracted Ebola, right? There were several thousand aid workers and hundreds of them contracted, and they knew what they were doing. I think there's more news to come on that, too. Just like there's more news to come on Private Bergdahl, where in another international incident, we traded a deserter who he had at the White House, whose parents are Muslim sympathizers, whom the president put his arm around and gave a big hug to, for five top Taliban leaders who are ensconced in palatial estates at American expense, you know, in Qatar, who kind of plays the shady middleman in some of these Mideast deals, which never seem to go right for us. And that's just the international stuff. Now let's talk domestic list. And this doesn't even dent it. Number one, we have the UN interference in domestic affairs, Agenda 21. Read my book. This is not to sell the book, but I think it's one of the best treatises on Agenda 21 out there. And I've been on Coast to Coast with George Noori and Republic National Radio, Fox Radio, you name it. Land for Love and Money. There's a whole section there on Agenda 21, which is the UN's plan, literally, to undo private property rights around the world. And America is a prime target. And the UN Agenda 21, which begins in its preamble, I'll paraphrase, with the words, private property is the root of social injustice. Remember the president harping on equality all the time? And social justice all the time, is a poison pill with all sorts of fuzzy little words in it that has now permeated state and local governments, sometimes by knowing, most times by unknowing local officials. They don't know they're doing the UN's bidding. And then we have the Small Arms Treaty, which Obama will, in the next 2 years, once it is fully passed by the United Nations, and whether or not it's ratified by the Senate, which is required under the Constitution, and it won't be, he will use that as a pretext with the Justice Department and his new appointee at Health and Human Services, the Surgeon General, who's an avowed anti-gun freak who calls guns a health hazard, to regulate guns through executive order using the UN as a pretext. Mark my words, this will happen. And then we have race. Ferguson, New York. You've heard my comments in previous shows on that. Personally, I think the cop in New York, after watching that tape and listening to that poor guy struggle for breath and say repeatedly, I can't breathe, in a panicked voice, should have been indicted. And maybe the cops who were with him, I don't know. I mean, I tend to give the benefit of the doubt to the cops in a situation like that, but I think it was beyond the pale. Ferguson's a different deal. I'm 100% convinced that cop didn't want to shoot, had to shoot. It was the way it was. But the use of race, Al Sharpton being at the White House 80 times, Michelle's lies, which I talked about at the top of the show, this is to divide the country, keep the black population subservient to the Democratic Party and dependent on the government and voting for the government. It's a divide and conquer. It's the same strategy. Obama's using the same strategy internally in this country that Putin is using with NATO. That should give you some sense of worry, shall we say. And then we have spending. This $1.1 trillion bill that went through. We're now at $18-plus trillion in national debt. I projected 3 years ago we'd be at $20 trillion when he left office. We might be higher. And that's not to mention what you almost never hear about. Go back in the archives. Wow. Back to the beginning of the show, and I'm talking about unfunded liabilities. Have all sorts of experts on as guests. 100 trillion above the 18 trillion, at least. Some estimates double that. Social Security, Medicare, public pensions. I mean, how do we repay 100, 120, 150 trillion? I mean, the numbers almost become meaningless. Of course, you and I won't repay it. Our kids will repay it. Our kids' kids, their kids, our great-great-great-grandchildren will be paying off this debt through higher taxes, lower quality of life, all for government largesse and growth. As they waste our money in all sorts of frauds, from welfare to illegal immigration to health care to the IRS refunding billions to non-existent taxpayers, felons, illegal aliens, false IDs. Oh, it's enough to make you just grind your teeth. And remember Cloward and Piven, right? You don't need a revolution. Just simply overburden a capitalist society with debt, and it will collapse. And from there, from that rubble, you can build your utopia. Look it up. Google up Cloward and Piven. And then, we have judicial appointments. You don't hear much about this either. Obama's been able to stack the D.C. Court of Appeals, which is the first place, the first appeals court that most of these regulatory overreaches would go when challenged in court, and then to the Supreme Court. And by regulatory, I mean Homeland Security, Health and Human Services, EPA, etc., etc., etc. But these other judicial appointments, I mean, there's like 20 of them or more that were rammed through just in the last week. Kind of the parting poke in your eye by the Democratic Senate and Harry Reid. Politicians come and go. Federal judges stay, folks. The face of the judiciary has been greatly reshaped. And the same with the military. 200 to 300 of our top brass, top fighting men, most experienced commanders, have been relieved by the White House and the national security team, Ben Rhodes and Susan Rice, make me puke, and Valerie Jarrett, the true president of the United States, in the last 3 or 4 years. The military's budget has been slashed. New weapons production is way down. New weapons development is way down. And now they're cutting into benefits. Take a look at some of the stories over the past few weeks, and I have several today. The military benefits for people who served, who put their life on the line, are being cut unilaterally. Obama and the Democrats, and I stress, the Democrats, almost to a man, are breaking their contract with our veterans. You know, in the government shutdown, what did they shut down? Amongst many other things. The war memorials? Really? Excuse me. And then, of course, we have the attacks on the Constitution through executive orders, which, by the way, it's now come to light. There's been hundreds more executive orders than Obama says. Not that numbers matter. Content matters. He calls them memorandums. That's right, presidential memorandums. Once again, the progressives, true to form, have switched words on you. Instead of the word black, the word is off-white. You know what I mean? It is a pattern of deceit, lack of transparency, which has been admitted by, remember, Mr. Gruber in his infamous videos, admitting the purposeful deceit, the reliance on the stupidity and trust. He left out the word trust. Trust of the American public that their elected officials would at least tell them most of the truth. Continuing pattern domestically. And of course, we have health care. Boy, the caca is going to hit the fan next year, folks. Wait till you see the rises in your premiums, which Obama put off until after the midterm elections, unilaterally, unconstitutionally, and in violation of his own law. Hopefully, the Supreme Court, who gets a second bite at the apple here in the next few months, will knock the tar out of that law. We'll talk more about that in upcoming shows. And the attack on the Constitution is relentless. But once again, if you go back in my archives, go to PBS, Barack Obama, Constitution, 2001. And there's others. Others may pop up. But you can hear this man, who's the President of the United States and took that oath of office, talk about what he thinks of the Constitution. Quote, "It is merely a covenant of negative rights," unquote. Meaning, all this document does is limit federal power. That's a bad thing. And he goes on to talk about how it's outlived its usefulness, etc., etc. Well, you know what? He's acting on it now. Every time he can stab those three pages that safeguard our rights, that knife flashes in the sunlight. The knife of progressivism / communism. Did you know that in the last few weeks, hardly covered by the mainstream media, a bill went up to his desk, would have saved most Americans, not everyone, but many Americans, about $3,000 a year in taxes? He vetoed it. You know why? It was unequal. Because only, 40 or 50 million people would benefit. It cost you $3,000, folks. Plus your health care premiums, plus everything else. Now he's taking credit for low gas prices. In fact, you'll see an article, by the way, under energy. He just took 30 million more acres out of drilling. Everything that's happening is happening because of private enterprise on private or state lands. Federal lands are virtually shut down. But he takes credit. You bet. And then, of course, we have education. I mean, the Department of Education needs to go away. And we have Common Core. And if you look into Common Core and you have kids, it should be enough if you value the future of this country to make you roll your eyes and start homeschooling or send them to a different school. Or certainly reject Common Core. There's a lawsuit pending right now where parents can opt out of Common Core. Let's hope that succeeds. And then, of course, we have the IRS scandal. It's clear that conservatives were targeted. We have yet to hear about the emails that couldn't be found, that were lost, and now suddenly have been found. We're just beginning to hear about the Department of Justice with Mr. Holder being arm in arm with the IRS in targeting and silencing conservative groups. Another attack on the Constitution. And then we have the EPA running amok with all sorts of regulations, adding an estimated $40 billion a year in costs just in the last 6 months alone with regulations, and stifling fossil fuel output, which is the whole basis of low energy prices and what's going on with some resurgence, but nothing like what they're talking about, in some sectors, in some places in the economy. Because they don't care. That's not their MO. And then we have Homeland Security. If you've gone through an airport lately, you know how amok that agency is. You know, the Secret Service, once it was put under Homeland Security, down the tubes it went. And then we have the executive orders themselves. I urge you to dial up on Google the NDAA, National Defense Authorization Act. Read the executive order. It's in the Federal Register. I think it's page like 92,000, something like that. They buried it. And if you go back in my archives, and this goes back probably a year and a half, 2 years. Perhaps my producers can have a link up for you. I have two shows on executive orders, and I go into detail what this NDAA is. The right of the President of the United States, based only upon literally a one-paragraph written warning, not an actual event, a warning of an event, to basically take over the control of everything that goes on in this country from soup to nuts, energy, food, transportation, you name it. One would have to wonder, given Obama's deceit, narcissistic behavior, and should we say his lust for power and ideology, if perhaps he isn't hoping something nasty happens on the terrorism side or the race side or riots or whatever. I mean, I'm sure it's part of a grander plan. These people think way ahead. They're satisfied with 1,000 little bites rather than one big gulp, although they'll take the big gulp when they can get it. And then, of course, we have this constant beat of the drums on equality and the minimum wage, etc., more divisive talk, and the war on women, more divisive talk between genders, and the health care law itself, which young people are paying for old people, division by race and creed and religion and age. It's quite a list, isn't it? And I didn't even scratch the surface. See what you can add to the list. And when you hear news, think about it in the context of the list. Because part of their plan is to keep everybody off guard and diverted. Read Saul Alinsky's Handbook for Radicals. So those are my thoughts from the road today. I'm going to be at Thornton today, the Thornton Barnes & Noble on 120th in Washington. I will be at Serendipity in Evanston, Wyoming tomorrow evening for a reading and see my great fans out there at 7:30. Great little bookstore, by the way. Terrific little restaurant. I mean, it's just wonderful. And then at the big Gateway Center, love that store, in downtown Salt Lake on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday right up to Christmas Eve. I hope to see you. And since this is the last show before Christmas, I want to wish everybody a happy Hanukkah, a Merry Christmas, and the happiest and safest of New Year's. And don't miss my New Year's show, a recap of this year and a forecast for next year. And we're going to give me a grade, too, on my forecast for this year that I did last. Have a great Saturday. Have a great holiday. Love your family. Squeeze your friends.